White, J.E. White, Emma. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, September 30th, 1903. Dear son Edson and daughter Emma, I have recently received two letters from you, also a copy of your letter to Elder Daniels. By this time, you have probably received the draft I sent to you for $1,000. I questioned as to whether I should send this money, for I have not a penny in the bank. But after talking to Willie about it, I decided to send it, although we need every dollar we can hold. I received $200 from Review and Herald today, but this is due to my workers. I shall have to borrow $1,000 from the bank, for which I must pay 8% interest. Last week I went to Healdsburg, where I spoke twice in council meetings and once on Sabbath. The Lord gave me a message for the people. When I am called upon to speak to a congregation, I find that the Lord gives me words to speak that are right to the point. You have been represented to me as speaking in public when angels of God stood by your side to help you in presenting the message with earnestness. Self was submerged in Jesus. Your words were spoken and impressively, and the tone of voice was not harsh. Your heart and the hearts of those who listened were softened to tenderness. When you spoke in regard to the atonement, your speech was subdued, and the words were such as to impress the soul. God would have every minister cultivate the voice. Speaking is a science. It will profit every minister so to discipline and train his powers of speech that his words may have the very best effect possible. He should not speak so rapidly that it will be difficult to distinguish one word from another. But it is most important that he receive the training that comes from the Spirit of God within the heart. Those who engage in a work of teaching others need first themselves to be taught as little children the first principles of truth, love to God, and love to their neighbor. The Lord desires his ministering servants to be kept free from anxiety. Never give occasion for reproach that your religion makes you gloomy. Let not your brethren gather from your influence a spirit of despondency. The religion of Jesus presents hope, the only real hope there is in this world. Then be cheerful, full of faith and courage. While avoiding a cheap and trifling spirit, you may adorn the gospel of Christ by manifesting cheerfulness at all times. God would have every soul rejoice in his grace. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? John 14, verse 1 to 9. Christ is the express image of his Father's person, the brightness of his Father's glory. Hence those who know Christ have a more perfect knowledge of God through their acquaintance with him whom God sent into the world as his representative. The 14th chapter of John is full of marrow and fatness. What a positive statement is made in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Verses 22 to 26.
Christ reproved his disciples for their slowness of heart in comprehending his statements to them. Many of the truths he taught them were but imperfectly understood. But he promised them that the Holy Spirit would recall to their mind his sayings as truths that they had not before understood. At his meeting with the disciples after the resurrection, he said, These are the things which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scripture. Luke 24, verse 44, 45. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John 14, verse 13 to 15. Perfect obedience to his commandments is the sign that distinguishes those who love God. To live the truth is the very best way to preach the gospel. True believers in Christ will not be satisfied with a limited knowledge of the truth. Truth, received and practiced, will expand and will transform the receiver into the likeness of its divine originator. The reception of truth ensures constant light. They who ever look to the pattern become partakers of the divine nature and grow to be like him in character. I feel so thankful to our Heavenly Father that he has given Christ to our world. We should ever rejoice with true piety for this unspeakable gift. In Christ is infinite grace, truth, life, and light for all who keep his commandments. And he has plainly revealed what we must do in order to receive his blessings. Why, I ask, is the church so slow in comprehending sanctifying truth? Nothing short of perfect obedience to the commandments of God will prepare men for those mansions which Christ is preparing for those who love him. We need in our hearts Christ's love for one another. We need to learn his meekness and lowliness. Take my yoke upon you, he says, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 29, 30. All who realize their need of a divine helper and take hold upon Christ will receive power to perfect righteousness. They will not put their Savior to open shame by doing mean and selfish actions. There are many who make their boast that they are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But Christ testifies of them, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. The church is in dire spiritual poverty and know not their true condition. Will they not heed the admonition of Christ? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Revelation 3, verse 15, 17, 18. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father on his throne. Verses 19 to 21. Let no one seek to spiritualize this message away, or to say, these words do not describe my condition. This message is given for everyone who is not awake to see his defects of character. Christ, the faithful and the true witness, says of his church today that in their self-sufficiency, they know not their poverty of soul, but think that they are rich and increased with goods. Unless they shall change, Christ will spew them out of his mouth. Then is it not time that church members should awake out of their sleep of ignorance? As a people, we need to profit by the record of the children of Israel. Through unbelief, they failed again and again. But we are admonished not to fall as many of them fell in unbelief and perished in impenitence. The Lord bears long with his backsliding people and continues to call them to repentance. But if they persist in resisting the Spirit of God, they will soon be left to the results of their own course. We are living in the great day of atonement. Shall we as a church heed the counsel of Christ, or shall we stand in our light and refuse to humble our hearts before God? Our only hope of salvation is to repent while it is called today. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 29, verse 1. There is peril in delay. I call upon our people to arouse from their self-complacency. God has given us many messages of warning, even as he sent repeated warnings to Israel, and many today, like the children of Israel, have feared not God, nor regarded his warnings.
Is it not for the interest of every church that the members cease their murmuring and complaining against one another, and examine their own hearts? Let them cease to push and crowd one another. Let those who are placed in positions of responsibility remember that God knows their works. He calls upon all to repent of their deeds, which have wounded the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. Many have lost their bearings. They know not what is truth. Their own pride and self-exaltation, their envy and a desire to be first, are characteristics of those who are under the banner of Satan. Satan is preparing for every soul his delusions, clothed with fascinating attractions. The fanciful doctrines that tend to confuse minds are from Satan. His deceptions are manifold. Many are taken captive by him, and some seem to have no power to go from the snare. God has spoken to his people by testimonies, by words of reproof and warning. These have been misrepresented, sneered at, misinterpreted, and rejected by many. The Lord then spoke by fire, and two of our largest institutions were swept away by fire. These things were not taken to heart as they should have been. Some have done all in their power to remove the impression that their own course of action was in any way responsible for the judgments of God by fire. What will God do next to make them understand that he is in earnest with them? Will they not now seek the Lord and humble their hearts before him in repentance, while it is not too late for wrongs to be righted?